AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. And we got a lot of ground to cover. Man, there was so much happening yesterday that we had a lot of spillover into today's program. But so happy to have you with us. And if you've noticed that we've had a few changes in the decorations and the design of the studio, and you'll notice a lot of balloons. And Dylan, I realized earlier today, I have absolutely no control over what is happening today.
And you shouldn't. You should be taking a load off. None. You're here.
Yes, if you haven't figured it out, it is my birthday. And, you know, it's funny. I'm not one to overtly celebrate. I'm more of a quiet person. And it's always a lot of fun. And I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not like, ooh, I can't wait to see what they do for my birthday. I'm always shocked that people do things for my birthday. I mean, I get so much hate mail. You know, you forget there are a few people out there in America who actually like you and find you somewhat pleasant.
Well, so, Todd, you work so hard. So, I mean, you got to let us take care of you sometimes.
This is nice. So thank you. So many folks have already posted birthday messages, and I really appreciate it. It's the big 5-8. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel my age at all. And I don't know what that's all about. But, you know, for a lot of people, when you get up into your, 60s and 70s, a lot of people say, aside from the naps, I feel great. I don't feel like I should feel. And because normally when you hear 58, you're like, oh, he's an old person. I mean, if you're a kid, you think, oh, that's an old geezer, but I don't feel like an old geezer. I feel great. So, look, it's been a good year, and I love these birthdays because, and again, we're going to talk about all the crazy news of the day, but just allow me for a moment of personal reflection. You know, I wasn't even supposed to be here, and back in 2005, I nearly died, and I got a second chance at life, and it has been such a blessing from the Lord, and I count my blessings every single day. You know, it was a rough patch. 2005, I had to have pretty significant open-heart surgery, and I thought I had bronchitis, and it turned out I had a failing heart, and they had to go in and do some pretty massive surgery and give me a mechanical aortic heart valve that is currently keeping me alive. And then the following year, my dad suddenly passed away, and he was, I think, 60 years old. And then my mom, she passed away the following year. And it was all very sudden, and it was all very traumatic. And even though, I'm a Christian man, that was a tough time. And it was like every time you picked yourself back up, you got knocked back down again. And in the middle of all of that, moving to New York City and taking the job at Fox News Channel, and that was a rough patch. But I can tell you that the only way I was able to make it through those hardships and those experiences was because of God and his sustaining grace. I learned something very important about God's mercies. And, we know and we hear this in church that his mercies are new every morning. And I'm telling you, I am a living proof of that because his mercies are new every morning. And I am just a very grateful human being. And after surviving that heart surgery, I made a promise to myself that I would squeeze every single bit of life out of every single day. And I know my cardiologist says, Starnes, you got to slow down, you know, but I can't. I can't help myself. I love sitting behind this microphone, and I love talking to you, and I love having those crazy debates and sharing good laughs with people. And so I'm just, I don't have any other button but fast and furious. So that's just how I live my life. And I do want to, you know, I do want to live life. I'll share this with you. And I really thought, you know what, maybe I don't want to share it, but I'm going to share it because it is a positive outcome. But about a month ago, a little over a month and a half ago, got word that there might have been an issue with my heart. And it was a little stressful, but again, God is in control. No matter what happens, God's always in control. But it was a little disappointing because the only way to fix this problem, if in fact it was bad, was to have to go back in, and I was facing another major open heart surgery. And they found an aneurysm on the heart, and they're measuring it. And they wanted to make sure there was no growth. They were concerned because it was getting to that point where they were going to have to go in and fix it. And the only way to fix it is to go in and do open heart surgery again. So I was dealing with that really for the past couple of months, coming on the air and just wondering, okay, am I going to have to be off the air for a few weeks? Will I be able to broadcast the show from, I don't know, cardiac care unit at Baptist Hospital? What will that look like? Will the beeping noise irritate our listeners? You know, these are issues you have to think about. Dylan, this is what I think about. It's not like, oh my God, am I gonna live? It's like, oh my God, how am I gonna do my show in the hospital?
I know. I knew that would be the first thought.
Will Dylan be in the nursing station working the board?
I know you because we have the equipment to do it. Like, it's a possibility.
Oh, we could do it.
We could definitely do
it. The problem is, if they take us off the air, did we accidentally take somebody off life support? So that would be a problem. Yeah. That would be fun, though. I don't know. So anyway, the long as we were literally having these conversations because I just didn't, you know, what do we do? So anyway, I finally got word that there was no growth. So I'm good. I'm good for another year or two, and they're going to monitor it every 6 months. But things are looking good. The heart is incredibly strong. And the doctors say I'm a walking miracle because I have no clogged arteries. And I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is Dr. Pepper, gravy, and barbecue sauce. They are natural lubricants to the body. I'm telling you because there's no other explanation. But all that to say, it's a blessing. And I love life. You know, that's, you know, a lot of people say, are you really, really that hopeful about things? And I am. I really am, because even though we go through things in life, you know, and you're always going to have problems. You're always going to have issues. And that's why the whole political thing, it really doesn't bother me that much, because I know ultimately we're going to be okay. And it's going to be a good thing. So I just wanted to start out the show by saying thank you. You know, you guys have a lot of choices for talk radio host, and I just thank you for picking this show. And we don't take you for granted. Every day we try to have some fun with the big stories of the day. We try to make people think. And I love hearing from you, the great listeners. We have some of the finest listeners and callers in the whole talk radio industry. And I've got to give a shout out. So like this morning, found out that there was a package at the front door. And normally that's a little alarming, especially these days. But it was from our friends at Patriot Talk 920, and they sent us all a delicious box of cookies. So thank you for that, and we've got a picture of it there. And just such sweet people there at Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. And then Kristen, our regular makeup artist, was not here, so we had Melissa, our backup makeup artist, because I got to tell you, there's only so much the doctors can do with my looks. So it takes a team of professional makeup artists to make me look halfway decent for TV. So they come in, and Melissa came in, and she does these designer cakes. You've seen these, Dylan, on like the Food Network, you know, where they do the cake competitions.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in with a Dr. Pepper cake.
Yeah, and it's like floating.
there's like a can, and the way she did, there's like a Dr. Pepper can, mm-hmm. and it's suspended in air, and it over the cake, and then the cake is, there's like chocolate coming out. It's like Dr. Pepper, but it's really chocolate coming out, making it look like it's splashing on top of the cake.
Yeah, she could be on that show and probably win.
1,000%.
Very talented.
And the whole cake looks, it's the color of a Dr. Pepper can, yep. but here's the thing. She put Dr. Pepper in the cake and the icing.
That's amazing.
It tastes like Dr. Pepper.
They taste amazing. Her cakes even look better. They taste even better.
It's insane. It's, so, Melissa, thank you so much. Such kindness. And again, this whole show, you know, we just have fun and we're down home. I grew up listening to talk radio. I mean, when I was a kid, Dad got transferred down to Louisiana. And we lived in a small town outside of New Orleans. And the only friend I had at that point, because we moved, and I felt like Louisiana was like a foreign country from Memphis. And the only friend I had was my grandpa's transistor radio. And I listened to talk radio. And at nighttime, you could pick up stations like WLW in Cincinnati and WIOD in Miami. And you could hear people like Larry King and... then back in the day, Sean Hannity, and of course, El Rushbo, and all those guys just truly inspired me. Paul Harvey. And, you know, we try to take a little bit, and I hope that when you hear the show, you hear a little bit of Rush, you hear a little bit of Paul Harvey, you hear a little bit of even Larry King, you know, the not the liberal side of Larry, but you know what I'm talking about. So I love radio. You know, I'm a radio nerd. And I think radio has such an important role to play in what we do in this country. And during the Clinton administration especially, people really gravitated towards talk radio as the only place that was really not only talking about these issues, but you could talk back to the host. You could phone in and you could have conversations. And that's a big deal. You don't get that in a podcast. You don't get that on cable television, but you do in radio. And so we really treat this show as just a big old front porch and people just drop by and they hang out for a little while. Sometimes they hang out for all 3 hours of the show and we just have a fun conversation together. And that's what we're going to do today. So we got a lot of ground to cover, but just wanted to take a few moments and say thank you. Thank you for listening to this program. Radio matters. And it's exciting to hear younger people phoning in and being a part of the conversation as well. In the aftermath of Charlie's assassination, it has been such an encouragement to see young people engaging in the system because we do have a lot of problems in the country. The good news is we're fixing a lot of those problems, but we still have a lot more ground to cover. And radio is always going to be here. And I can tell you that, at least on this radio talk show, because I own the show. And I own the radio station. So we're always going to be here as long as the good Lord gives me breath. So look, I'm going to take a break here. We'll open up the phone lines. We're going to have a little bit of fun today, a little weird, quirky show, which is pretty much every show, but it's especially quirky today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or healthcare. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. Dylan, somebody just brought by, Sweet Cheryl brought by an entire rack of ribs from Central Barbecue. The entire studio, the news bunker, smells of smoked meat. It is a good day. And then this Dr. Pepper cake from our good friend Melissa. This is unbelievable. By the way, we've posted photos on our social media platform, Instagram. Go check it out. It's really, I'm just stunned. It looks so authentic. So thank you guys so much. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Winchester, Virginia, WINC, our great affiliate there. Mark, what's going on?
Hello?
Hello, Mark. You are on the air.
How you doing, sir? I'm trying to find a place to pull over on my computer truck. I just want to wish you a happy birthday. And all you guys that do this talk radio has really changed my life. And I just wish everybody in America would listen to you instead of all them liberal, whatever they are.
Well, Mark, I really appreciate that. Now, are you a truck driver?
No, I'm a former Marine. I'm a Marine, and I'm a retired federal employee, and I've worked in the defense contract for 55 years, and I really, really appreciate it. What you guys are doing.
Well, Mark, I sure appreciate those kind words, and I want to say thank you, sir, for serving our great nation, and we really appreciate you. And I will say this, you know, this country has so much potential, and we truly are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And Mark, the reason why is because we have this incredible all-volunteer military. And you guys are the most powerful fighting force on the planet, my friends.
And you know, and one of my jobs I worked as when I got out of the Marines, I worked for Beechcraft for a long time and rode the earth for like 18 months, fixing all the embassy planes and all the helping fix the King Airs so nobody could figure out all over the earth. And there's nobody that lives in the former Soviet Republic but still wants to be like them. So why are we trying to do this?
Yeah. Mark, God bless you, my friend, and thank you for calling in. Thank you for those kind words. Thank you for listening to our incredible affiliate there in Winchester, Virginia, WINC. Fine, fine people over there at that radio station. You know, it's interesting. People are beginning to prepare, and we are starting to hear that grocery stores around the country are thinking about either shutting their doors on November 1st or hiring security. And people are really concerned that a lot of these TikTokers are going to make good on their threats to loot and target shoppers in the parking lot. I want you to hear this one gal. She's really wound up about this, and she's calling out, of all people, Hollywood. Take a listen.
Where are the celebrities? Where are the mothers? Where is Kim Kardashian? Where is Cardi B? Where is Taylor Swift? Where is Beyonce? 40 million people are about to lose their food assistance, and they do not care because they are part of the system. Wake up. Nobody needs Skims when they're actually skin and bone. Nobody needs 12 albums with the same music. Wake up. They don't care. They want you to starve. Starve them. Do not buy their stuff. They want children to starve. Wake up.
Yeah, based on the photos I've seen, a good many of these people who claim they're going to be starving to death probably have about 5 months worth of reserve food already in their system. This is insane, but these people are nuts. And by the way, where are the Kardashians? Why aren't they inviting these people to come and live in their massive compound? And why aren't they giving them all the, I mean, again, the Kardashians, all of these Hollywood celebs out there, you know, they complain about how bad it is. Well, you could do something about it. But here's just something for us to think about as we go to break, ladies and gentlemen. Just think about this for a moment. If you are able-bodied enough to own a laptop, to own a home, to own video cameras, and if you're able-bodied enough to put together a TikTok video, then you are able-bodied enough to go out there and get off your lazy butt and get a job. It's really that simple. It really is, America. All right, 901-260-5926. What is your message to all of these folks, these able-bodied people getting food stamps and SNAP benefits? We'll be right back.
Experience. Experience the drama behind the greatest book of all time. CBN Films' latest documentary, Oracles of God, recreates the origins of the New Testament with dramatic reenactments, stunning archaeological evidence, and insights from scholars that will change the way you view the New Testament.
Christianity did not begin in a lie, and we can and we must demonstrate this.
In theaters nationwide, November 2nd, 3rd, and 5th only. Tickets available at cbn.com/gettickets.
All right, the Senate just tried for the 13th time to reopen the government, and Democrats once again refused to pay the troops. They refused to reopen the government. And they're using the suffering of American families as leverage here. Again, Chuck Schumer, the author of The Schumer Shutdown, stopped his fellow Democrats from siding with Republicans. All they need are 60 votes. Republicans need 60 votes, which means they've got to have some Democrats come over and vote with them. But the largest union of federal workers, representing about 800,000 people, many of them Democrats, are now saying that it's time to reopen the government. So the Democrats have already lost the union, and it is not looking good. So that's where we're at right now, ladies and gentlemen. Republicans willing and ready to reopen the government, but the Democrats will not allow them to do that. And I will say this, and I saw Josh Hawley's piece today in the New York Times, and I don't know what's going on with these guys in the Senate. You know, we send these rock-solid Republicans to Capitol Hill, and sometimes they get a little squirrely. And it could be that they start reading their own headlines, and that's one of the reasons why. But Josh Hawley, penning an op-ed that appeared in the New York Times, and the headline, Josh Hawley says, no American should go to bed hungry. And it's true, no American should go to bed hungry, but the reality is that that's not what this is about. What the Republicans need to be doing and continue to do is they need to be writing essays talking about the Democrats and why the Democrats are more determined to push for all sorts of crazy programming and money for foreign countries, but they're willing to let the American people suffer. Those are the kinds of stories that we really ought to be focusing on. As a matter of fact, Speaker Mike Johnson talking about that today, just a little while ago. Let's take a listen to Cut 3.
Things like $4 million for global LGBTQI plus awareness campaigns around the world. $4 million for the LGBTQI plus democracy grants in the Balkans. They want $2 million for feminist democratic principles projects in Africa. We're not doing that. But again, the question is, why? Why? This sounds crazy. It is. Why would they do this? And what we saw on vivid display over the weekend was the re-emphasis of this fact. This is motivated purely out of fear. And what do we mean by that? You saw the Democratic leader in the House, Hakeem Jeffries, endorse Zohran Mamdani for mayor of New York City on Friday. It was an illustration of what we're facing here. The Democrats right now fear the far left activists more than they fear air traffic controllers, border patrol agents, American service members, and so many others missing their paychecks. They fear the Marxist insurgents like Mamdani more than they fear families and children going hungry from lapse benefits that keep food on their tables. They simply fear losing their own political positions next November if they don't appease the angry far-left base right now.
Well, he's not wrong, and this is the reality that AOC and Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, you've got Jasmine Crockett, all of these folks represent the radical progressive side of the Democrat Party, which is now becoming the mainstream Democrat Party. So as liberal as you thought Schumer was and Pelosi was, these people are to the far left, not even just a smidge to the left, the far left of Pelosi and Schumer and dollar store Obama. Now, I want to go back to the the food stamp situation here, because there are some stats flying around, and these stats are just simply insane. Because according to our good buddy Steve Gill, you're looking at an overwhelming number of illegals who are now getting food stamps. They ran the numbers, and I want to share these with you, and this gives you an idea of percentages. These are food stamps by ethnicity. This is coming from our friend Steve Gill, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. And according to this report, and a lot of people think, well, oh, it's white people who are the largest ethnicity getting food stamps. No, that's actually not correct. I mean, percentage-wise, the numbers, number one, 45% are Afghanis. Coming in second place, 42% Somalis, 34% Iraqis, 34% Dominican, 28% Caribbean, 27% Haitian, 27.2% Puerto Rican, 25% Cuban. You have 24.9% Black. So the concern here is that illegals are getting more government assistance, which means your tax money, than actual law-abiding taxpayers, which is what the whole food stamp program, the whole SNAP program was meant for, was intended for. As a matter of fact, when you look at the numbers, they're saying, this is from CIS.org, they're saying when it comes to welfare, let's say cash benefits, you're looking at illegals getting 18%, legal immigrant households getting 23%. When it comes to food and welfare, 48% of all of that is going to illegals, 34% to legal household or legal immigrant households. As far as U.S.-born households, 25%. When it comes to Medicaid, more illegals are getting Medicaid than law-abiding American citizens. This is insanity. 39%, according to the poll, 36% of legal immigrant households. And when it comes to housing, 5% of legal immigrant households, 4% of illegals. So, ladies and gentlemen, not only are we allowing, and not only did we allow our nation to be invaded, but now you and I are paying for the illegals. It's almost as if they're living in the lap of luxury, courtesy of the American taxpayer. And that's what's aggravating a lot of people out there. I want you to listen to this guy. He is really upset at all of you folks out there that are mooching off of government assistance. Let's take a listen. Okay, we'll get to that soundbite in just a moment. We're going to take a break here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Here's what I say, absolutely no government assistance at all. None for the illegals. And that is a very tough position, and I know that's going to be a tough thing for Republicans to, you know, to understand and for Republicans to implement, because they're going to get bad press. But look, Republicans, you're always going to get bad press. So why not just go ahead and do the right thing, do the tough thing? But that's the best way for the illegals to go back home, and that's why they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave because they got it made. They don't have to lift a finger. The American taxpayers are footing the bill for everything. So if we went in and we said, okay, we're cutting off the spigot, no more access to the government teat. Yes, I said it, government teat, ladies and gentlemen. No more mooching or slurping off the hardworking taxpayers of America. So if we can do that, we're going to resolve. You're going to see so many people self-deporting out of here. It's going to be incredible. You don't want to be anywhere near the border because you're going to get run over with a massive surge of people running back across that border. But that's the only way we're going to fix this problem. We've got to immediately cut off all aid and benefits. And if you want help, you can go to your local church. Go to your local food bank, because the government is shut down. Well, in more ways than one. But in this conversation, no more money for illegals. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. And welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. No, it just aggravates me because I see so many people out there that are working their butts off, and some of you guys are out there working 2 and 3 jobs just to pay your bills, just to make ends meet. And you don't take a single penny of government assistance. And if you do, you're off of that as soon as humanly possible. That's one of the big problems here, is that we've got so many illegals and so many moochers that are living off the government dime, and that's absolutely not right. And by the way, a lot of people now are so frustrated, they're starting to call out the able-bodied people who use these federal handouts to survive. Cut number 7.
I'm just going to say, and I don't care who get mad, should no grown-ass able-bodied people be freaking out about no food stamps. If you got 2 legs, 2 arms, you can get up and talk on the phone. You can get up and take your behind to work. I'm talking to able-bodied.
Yeah, I hear you, sir, and I'm with you. All these people with their high dollar. By the way, how much does a cell phone cost? It's like hundreds of dollars. Hundreds of dollars to get a nice smartphone. I'm an Apple guy, so all of my stuff comes from the Apple store, and it cost an arm and a leg. But again, by the way, Dylan, you know what also cost an arm and a leg? My car repairs. Jeez, hello.
Yeah, I heard about that.
$900.
What, for a tire, right?
For a tire and a battery, they changed the oil to.
You do have a nice car.
Yeah.
But that's very expensive.
Sweet mercy.
Yeah, too much.
I should have gone down to the Jiffy Lube.
They always take care of you.
Or I should have just got one of the illegals, you know, just go over to Home Depot.
Down the street.
Hey, buddy. Buenos dias. El Tiro? I don't know. That wouldn't work for me. I only speak English. What's the point? Every other language is inferior. So anyway, that's going to get me in trouble, but it's true. What were we talking? Oh, yeah. So here's a lady, and she's got a message to all of these EBT recipients as well, who say they're going to be going out and robbing and looting grocery stores. Cut number 1, please.
Let me tell y'all something. Those is talking about going out there, making them videos, talking about y'all going to rob them people's stores because they done cut them SNAP benefits. Let me tell you something. You go out there, you're going to get them folks every legal right to bop you across your head. Baby, they're going to be justified in bopping you across your head. You better learn how to cook some quick, cheap, easy meals. You could take some tuna, some cream of mushroom, a peas, and throw some noodles in it. You want to get fancy, crumble some crackers on the top. You got tuna casserole. You can take you some beans. I don't care if it's black beans, pinto beans. If you don't know how to make them homemade, you can buy them in a can from the Dollar Tree with some rice, baby, and you got beans and rice.
Come on.
You some cornmeal, honey, a little bit of oil. Ooh. Make some hot skillet cornbread.
Get some cornbread.
And you can take some peanut butter with some jelly and make a sandwich. Woo. Grilled cheese with some bread, honey, and get your tomato soup. You got a meal and sit down somewhere. Don't go out in them streets because they going to bop y'all in the head. Don't do it.
Don't do it. I mean, she's right. I mean, by the way, she's got a great idea here she's got. You know, when back in the day, and I don't, maybe this was just us. We used to shop at Winn-Dixie back. Do they even still have Winn-Dixies? I don't know if they do. But anyway, Winn-Dixie or we'd go down, or there was a store called Del Champs for you folks in Louisiana. And that was kind of like the Kroger of the time. And you could go and you could get these massive sacks of like rice and beans, and people would just live off of that for weeks. I mean, red beans and rice is like a staple in the New Orleans, I mean, across all of Louisiana. And every Monday, was it every Monday? I know who's going to call us to tell us. Miss Janice will correct me if I'm wrong here. But in Louisiana, and especially in New Orleans, they would have what they call wash day. And that's when you would have red beans and rice, because it's Monday. If I remember my Louisiana history, every Monday in Louisiana households, you would have red beans and rice for supper. And the reason why is Monday was usually dedicated to laundry. So the ladies would put on a big old pot of red beans, and they put on the rice, maybe get some good old andouille sausage. And let me say something about andouille sausage. If it doesn't come from Louisiana, it's not andouille sausage. And if it doesn't come from a place called La Place, Louisiana, it's probably not andouille sausage, even if it is from Louisiana. La Place, by the way, where yours truly graduated high school, we were known as the andouille capital of the world. We were known for the sausage. As a matter of fact, we had a huge sausage festival, and they would crown the andouille sausage queen. It was a big deal. But anyway, I digress. So they would put on a big old pot of red beans and rice, and, you know, if you came from the wealthy side of town, they put in some andouille sausage, and they had some cornbread, and there you got a meal. People aren't doing that anymore. They're spending, you know, and by the way, you go to Chick-fil-A, and I love Chick-fil-A, the official chicken of Jesus, but man, those prices are looking like high church prices. I mean, back a couple of years ago, a Baptist could go to Chick-fil-A, but now you got to be like one of those rich Episcopalians. It cost an arm and a leg to get that chicken breast. I'm just telling you. I was going through drive-thru the other night. I'm like, wait, what? How much? Good Lord, I could have got my battery replaced. I'm just saying, prices are going up. So what you have to do is economize. And I don't know if are they teaching kids basic home economics anymore? Are they teaching them about balancing a budget and maybe understanding you're not meant to go out and have a meal every night of the week? That is reserved for a special occasion. But the problem is Americans have become so lazy, they don't want to do that anymore. They're looking for the easy way, which is why they're going to Burger King and Wendy's. Or, you know, Culver's. Man, I wish we had a Culver's here. Great place. All that to say, though, we need to start rethinking the way we're living our lives. And I'm just going to ask questions, and it's going to get me in trouble here. But does everybody need to live in a McMansion? Really, do you need seven bathrooms? I mean, do you really need that many bathrooms? Do you need that many bedrooms? I mean, if you're the Duggar family, I get it, but I don't understand. Are the entire nation, and by the way, just because you can afford a massive house, is that the right move to make? You know, Warren Buffett, one of the richest guys in the world, lives in the same house he's always lived in. And it's not some sort of a palatial mansion. It's just a very nice house, but nothing out of the ordinary. So I'm wondering if just as a nation, are we living way, it's not even way above our means, it's just we're off the charts insane right now. I'm just asking. When you've got kids, and hear me on this, I think it's great that you're getting your kids their first automobile, but what are they doing for that? Are you going out there and you're getting yourself even more in debt to get your 16-year-old a brand new car? How long do you think that car is going to be dent-free? I remember when I got my car, I had to pay for my insurance and I had to pay for my gas. That's what I had to do if I was, which meant I had to go out and get a job, a J-O-B. No job, no car. And by the way, my car was a 1974 El Camino pickup truck with sparkly baby blue paint. It was a sweet ride. But I'll tell you something, I made sure that I could afford it because I had to get a job and I worked my butt off. I'm just not sure we're passing along those life lessons to the next generation, and we need to. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Got to take a quick break here, folks. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Shatters, that's right. I love this American ride.
Holy smokes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're having a great time around here. Dylan, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot the ribs are downstairs, so I may have to take. We may have to take a long break. Coming up, so I can go down and grab some ribs.
No, yeah,
I don't know. How quickly can I polish off a rack of ribs? We're about to find out. I'll be sleeping by hour three of the show. Good to have you with us. It is a birthday edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, number 58 for me. And I feel like, I honestly feel like I'm in my 20s. I mean, technically, my heart is much younger than I am. So maybe that's part of it. You know, when I got my mechanical heart valve, Dylan, the surgeon told me, now here's the deal. Your heart is, it's kind of like put it, your heart is like 20, it's like 25, 26 years old, but you know, your body's a little bit older. So your body is 58 years old, but your heart, you know, it's like purring like a kitten. He said it's like putting a Porsche engine in a Yugo. It's going to run great, but some of the parts might fall off.
That's a feeling to imagine right there.
I thought, geez, Lou, what parts are we talking about, Doc? For the love of the Lord.
So in some ways, you're very young. You're a young guy.
I'm young at heart.
And that's literally so true.
You see what I did there.
Yeah.
And by the way, thank you to Patriot Talk 920. You sent me some very nice treats, and we appreciate all of our great Houston listeners. What about the rest of you? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to eat a salad. Hey, let's go to the phone lines real quick before we hop into the politics of the day. Richard from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Richard wants to talk about a restaurant. Richard, what's going on?
Oh, it's a restaurant. It's a place where you can buy andouille. I mean, as a LaPlace boy, I know you'll know this. Jacob's Andouille on Airline Highway, best andouille in the world.
That is incredible. You know, that's the thing. It's that, you know, because if you go to the supermarket and you'll see Johnsonville, which I've got nothing against them. They have a great product, but their andouille is not andouille.
No, it's not. And I know you also remember a little place on Airline Highway called Airline Motors. It used to be a car dealership, but then became a restaurant. And it was wonderful. Then it went out of business, and probably 2 months after it closed, it reopened because some people out of San Francisco bought it. Didn't know anything about Cajun food. It lasted maybe 2 weeks, and then it closed again.
So the reason why they called it the Airline Highway is that road would take you to the airport, New Orleans Airport. And you're
exactly
right. We ate so many meals at the Airline Motors, which is – it was originally started back in the 1930s, and you're right, as a car dealership. And it was one of these Art Deco buildings, and it was so awesome. Richard, 24 hours a day you could get a meal down there.
I know. I used to get meals every time I was on the road because I was on the road for like 15 years selling chemicals. And whenever I'd come back to town, I made a point of coming through LaPlace specifically to stop at Airline Motors.
Oh, it was like a landmark.
That's all I got for today. And the other thing, Bailey's Andouille is nothing compared to Jacob's.
Really? Is that right?
No, I tried Bailey's, and no, they're not a pimple on Jacob's.
Now, let me ask you a question, because this is a popular delicacy. You know how, like in Boston, you go into the diner, you're going to get clam chowder. In the Louisiana area, it's turtle soup, and they had turtle soup. I've never had turtle soup, but it was on the menu down there.
I've only had turtle soup once, and I got to say, it was good. And when my grandfather, when he was alive, ran a paper route back in the 20s, he used to run it on a bike. And if he spotted a turtle in the road, it went in his paper bag sack and became dinner that night.
Wow. Wow. Crawfish omelets. They had them all at Airline. It was just a great, great diner. But what made it even greater was it was like Cajun. I mean, the food, you know, it was just authentic Cajun food, and it was so delicious.
And everybody who was in the kitchen knew exactly how to prepare the recipes.
That's true. And there was another place next door called Roussel's, which was you remember that, and they had great food. Yeah. That was more like finer dining, but of course, as a kid, you don't really know what that means. And
I could never afford Roussel's.
No. But the families went to Airline Motor Restaurant, and it's so sad. I hate that those kinds of restaurants close. One of the things I have great respect for in the Memphis area, because we've had a lot of those 50, 60, 70-year family restaurants that, you know, they just can't go on. And so we've had local investors that have come in, and they've been buying these like Bryant's Biscuits or The Side Porch, which is a great steak joint in a place called Bartlett, Tennessee. And so anyway, I appreciate them continuing the traditions with the same recipes and really the same sense of community. I have great respect for that.
Well, since today is your birthday, I'm going to wish you happy birthday. And I'm like 29 years older than you, but that's okay. We're both still young at heart, and I'm also, speaking of heart, a heart patient. But anyhow, that's about all I got.
We're fellow heart survivors.
Miss Janice is also going to remember Airline Motors.
I have no doubt she will. And, of course, the great Frost Stop, which was one of the great drive-ins before Sonic.
Yes. I still have a globe mug from there that they used to serve frosted root beer in.
Oh, my gosh. You're taking us down memory lane today, Richard. all right, my friend. I know. Do you ever get over to Toots there in Murfreesboro?
Every now and then, my daughter and I will try to make a restaurant run every week and try a new place to eat. We went to Bell Buckle last week and found a great little restaurant down there. It's only about 30 miles southeast of Murfreesboro.
That's Bell Buckle, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. So a fine little metropolitan area.
I found something out when we were in Bell Buckle. They have the Moon Pie and RC Cola Festival once a year, and for a town of 430 people, they said they get in about 100,000 visitors.
Wow. 100,000. That's insane. Now, of course,
I don't know where they put them.
No, well, our listeners down in Pascagoula, and we've got a good many listeners, WPMO, that's our good buddy Noah runs that station down there, and they're just a stone's throw from Mobile. And every year they drop the giant moon pie on their on the 4th of July, on January 1st, New Year's Eve. And they make the world's largest moon pie, and people actually eat it and have a grand old time. And it's a great family-friendly way to ring in the new year down in Mobile.
If it wasn't such a drive, I would go.
You know, maybe we ought to just all do a road trip, and we could do a Todd Stern Show road trip to Mobile, Alabama for the great moon pie drop.
Not only that, but we could stop and see the battleship after we finish.
Well, there we go. We could make a whole weekend of it. All right, Richard, you've given me an idea. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the kind words. 901-260-5926 is our number. Dylan, did I say this was going to be a weird show?
You did. I can confirm.
All right. I just want to make sure. All right. Thank you, because it's getting weird. But we're having a good time going down memory lane, talking about crazy stuff, because there's a lot of craziness in the world. By the way, Wyatt Cox, who runs the Nevada Talk Network, said that he sent me peach jello. Why? Wyatt may have to phone in and explain himself. But thank you, Wyatt. That's very kind of you. All right. I want to play some audio here. This is from a guy, and I'm just going to tell you, I'll verify this. You're going to figure this out quickly. This guy's wearing a cowboy hat, and you would assume that this guy would be wearing a cowboy hat. He has a message for all of you people out there that are threatening now to, and this is a real thing. This is real world here, folks. People are now threatening to rob folks going grocery shopping. So this is all going down on November 1. I will tell you, and maybe if you guys could give us a call, because we're hearing this, at least in the Memphis area, where the lines to the food bank are like down the street and around the corner, like a mile, 2 mile back up, people going and getting food at the food banks. But a lot of people are now saying, you know, forget that. We're just going to rob people down at the local Kroger. This guy has a message. We had to bleep it out a couple of times, but this guy has a message for all of you people threatening to do that.
So you're going to steal my basket full of groceries after I leave the store? Yeah, I don't think so there, Hen. I've seen a lot of videos talking about how people's EBT is getting cut off, and so they're going to be stealing groceries straight out of the store. But I've also seen a lot of videos talking about how people are going to grab baskets whenever they come out of the store. That way they're not stealing from the store, they're stealing from an individual. Well, you grab my shopping cart full of groceries that I bought and paid for with my money, and you're going to hear two sounds. There are going to be three sounds, maybe. It's certainly going to be two sounds. The first sound you're going to hear is me saying, now, Han, that's a bad idea there. Better walk the f*** on. If you don't walk the f*** on, that'll be the next sound you hear.
Uh-oh.
And the third sound, son, I'll hear it. You won't. No, sir. I'll hear it. And you won't. Now, people are going to come back on this video and say, oh, you'd end somebody over a basket full of groceries? Yeah, I would. You damn right. Because that person that's deciding to steal from me, they've already decided that that's what their life is worth. Well, they made that decision. They made that choice. You don't steal from me. F*** around and find out.
I'm nervous, and I don't have any plans to go out and steal anything. Holy smokes. You know, you folks in Texas will understand this, and Oklahoma. Texas and Oklahoma, I think this is unique to your areas of the country. But let's just say that you're in a situation and there's a bad guy with a gun, and you see a guy like that standing next to you, and he's wearing a cowboy hat and glasses. When you see the cowboy taking off the glasses, you know it's about to go down. That's the clue. Dylan, I'm not wrong, am I?
Yeah, you're not wrong. I would feel very safe with him.
Right, exactly.
He should be doing like Ford truck commercials. Like, he has a great voice.
Oh my gosh. That's what a voice. That guy's not messing around. So look, I mean, this is the deal, folks. You got to watch yourself, and if I were you, if you're a law-abiding gun owner, you might want to be packing heat when you go to the grocery store. You ought to be doing it all the time, but especially on November 1. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to Iowa. Rick, listening to us on KXEL. Good afternoon, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I just wanted to say happy birthday. And I also want to say that, you know, we got those marvelous pork loins out here. And do you ever go to a drive-in called Dog N Suds or A&W Drive-Ins?
Dog N Suds.
Like D-O-G and N, like letter N.
Oh, kind of like suds. Pork in beans, pork. And,
exactly.
So it's Dog N Suds. All right, I gotcha. And A-N-W, all right.
Yeah, and A-W is just like the root beer.
Wow, so wait, A-N-W actually had a, like a, you know, just a, like a, what is it, a burger joint?
Yeah, it was a drive-in, and depending on the town, the town that I lived in, Western Iowa, when I graduated high school, the waitresses were on roller skates. It was pretty fun. They'd get out there and do some tricks and stuff like that. Of course, every now and then they would fall, but Now,
what did you mean by doing tricks here? What do you? Oh, you
well,
mean
you
like?
Know,
never mind.
On roller skates.
Get my mind out of the gutters, Starnes.
Yes, indeed.
How dare I? Anyway, same on me.
Yeah. Anyway, geez. I'm listening to you on 990, your app, because I know that we get you out here at 8 p.m. our time.
Yeah, that's right.
I just wanted to give a shout-out at you. I'm traveling right now. I'm a veteran, and I just got back from the VA hospital. But anyway, I see you're here today. I just heard that it was your birthday today, and I just want to say happy birthday and ask you about those two establishments that I grew up with.
Now, where is Dog and Suds? Is that like an Iowa thing?
No, it was nationwide. Well, it was well before the interstate. I mean, you used to go down Highway 30 before the interstates were completed, and a town would have Dog and Suds or the A&W brand, and the burgers, fries, and whatever, fish sandwich or whatever, and you just have a nice meal, and they'd hang your meal on the window. You'd have your driver's window up about 3 or 4 inches, and they'd have a tray that held onto the glass, and the food would be right out to you. And when you turned your lights on, you're ready to leave, or you'd honk the horn, letting them know you're ready for an order.
Oh.
And it was quite the deal. But a lot of the waitresses were on roller skates. They'd go out and do roller skating tricks and stuff.
Gotcha. Well, Rick, it sounds like such a fun thing. And I love the walk down memory lane, and I miss those kinds of places. Rick, God bless you. Thank you for the kind words, and you'll be able to listen to yourself a little bit later on KXEL there in Waterloo, Cedar Rapids.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Wow. You know, anybody remember Burger Chef? Man, they used to have great burgers. And also there was the old Shoney's. They used to have now. Dylan, your grandpa would take me. We would always have like get the family together, go over to Shoney's. I would have the big boy burger, and then you would get that amazing fudge. It was like this chocolate fudge sundae thing at Shoney's.
They don't make places like that anymore.
I hate that for your generation.
Yeah, we have like all the like restaurants look the same nowadays. They're all modernizing. It's
McDonald's.
Terrible.
You know what McDonald's problem is? It's not for kids anymore.
No, it's not.
And it's supposed to be.
It's for like depressed adults.
It's so true. All the grays.
They're gray and not even yellow. There's no golden arches.
I know. Poor Ronald McDonald. You think he's like in a political prisoner or something?
He probably is.
It's sad. Let's go to Shannon in Colorado. You know what? Hold on. I didn't realize we're coming up on a break. Hang tight, Shannon. We're going to get to you in just a minute. But we're taking a walk down memory lane as we talk politics, government shutdown, New York City about to elect a jihadist. Wow. The news is really depressing today. 901-260-5926. Do me a favor, folks. Head over to ToddStearns.com. And, you know, Christmas is coming up, and it's a great opportunity for you to get a copy of my newest book, Star Spangled Blessings. It makes a terrific stocking stuffer. You can get one at our store. It is a lot cheaper. I mean, I'm happy to autograph and personalize it for you, but you can also get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. Hang tight. Got to take a quick break. We've got Mark from the Villages. Josh Jones going to stop by. We're just getting cranked up here, folks. We'll be right back.
The public is invited to a pre-hearing open house and combined public hearing to review and provide input on the proposed project to extend Jacksonville Parkway from Western Boulevard to New Bern Highway, which is intended to improve overall mobility in the area. The public meeting and hearing will be held on October 28th at Jacksonville Commons Elementary School, located at 1121 Commons Drive North in Jacksonville. The pre-hearing open house begins at 5:30 and the formal hearing begins promptly at 6:30 p.m.
All right, Hurricane Melissa making landfall in Jamaica, Category 5 storm. The photos from the hurricane trackers, just insane. I haven't seen anything like that before. I don't think any of us have. They're saying this is the strongest direct hit to the island in 174 years. Winds, these are the sustained winds, not the gust. Sustained winds, 185 miles an hour. Just unbelievable. no word on damage, no word on casualties. We'll keep you updated on that story. A lot of people praying for the good people of Jamaica. I want to go real quick, though, to Shannon in Colorado Springs. Shannon, I heard a rumor about today. Is that rumor true?
It is. So I just had to call and wish my birthday buddy a happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you as well, Sharon. Shannon, my apologies. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So what are you doing for the what are you doing for your birthday?
Well, not much. I accidentally broke a few bones last week and had to have surgery, so I'm laid up on the couch.
All right. Well, you know what? Being laid up on the couch is a pretty nice birthday present, aside from the broken bones. So, doctor, is it going to take you a little while to recover from that?
Yeah, longer than I like, but I'm not very patient, so.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, Shannon, well, look, happy, many, many more happy birthdays to you.
Right back to you, sir.
All right. Great lady out there in Colorado Springs. Shannon, God bless you. And, wow, it's October 28th. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line real quick. Josh Jones joining us. Hey, Josh, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you? Happy birthday, Todd.
Well, thank you, Josh. I'm going to tell you a story, so you just have to be patient for a moment. The reason I was actually supposed to be born on Halloween, October 31st, and my mom was not having that. And she said she didn't want her first child born on Halloween. So she was trying to figure out a way to induce labor. So she made my dad take her to Shakey's Pizza on Elvis Presley Boulevard in Whitehaven, which is a suburb of Memphis. Josh, my mom ate a large pepperoni pizza, every single piece, an entire large pepperoni pizza. Later that night, she went into labor, and I was born October 28th. And I love pepperoni pizza.
There you go. That's a good story. I can't say I've heard one like that before.
Because it's weird. That's why it's weird, man. Oh, my goodness. Josh, speaking of weird, there's a lot of weirdness happening around the country with these political races. And I know that we're going to start in Virginia because that's your land. Those are your people. And it looks like the polls are tightening up a little bit. What are you hearing, and what do you think is going to happen on Election Day next week?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. We are seeing it tighten up kind of across the board right now. And that always happens right before the election because, you know, everybody's hyper-focused on it and people get zoned in on it. So the numbers shift around a little bit. Look, the reality on the ground is it's anybody's game. At the end of the day, you know, polls don't decide elections, votes do. I will say the Democrats probably have the upper hand heading into the election due to multiple factors, one of the big ones being spending. Just Democrats are absolutely pouring a ton of resources into Virginia, which is, you know, a double-edged sword because that means they're nervous and wanting to invest their resources here versus elsewhere. But the alternative is they're spending a lot of money, so that, you know, translates into advertising and, you know, otherwise. So, and you also have right now the Virginia Democrats in the legislature calling in a special session right now to try and draw attention off the campaign trail, which I think is telling. So it'd be interesting to see if anything comes out of that substance because they're talking redistricting, but that's kind of beyond the point.
But that's also dirty tricks because my understanding is it literally pulls Winsome Earl Sears off the campaign trail because she's got to be at the state house.
Yeah, that's right. As lieutenant governor, which is what she currently is, she has to preside over the Senate, which means she has to be there for the special session, whereas Abigail Spanberger, the Democrat nominee for governor, is not currently an elected official, so she's just full-time campaigning right now.
Oh, wow. That's low down, right? It's clever, but it's still low down.
Yeah. No, you're 100% correct on that.
You know, we had Senator George Allen on the Newsmax show, former governor, and I would say that he's really one of the statesmen of Virginia. And it was just interesting, his demeanor. I think he's putting all of his attention and energy into the AG's race, and I'm not sure what to make of that. But I know we've had conversations in the past that the Republicans just need to be focused on running very strong campaigns there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and George Allen and Jason Meares, who's the Republican nominee for Attorney General and also current Attorney General of Virginia, have been longtime friends. So it makes sense that they're, you know, campaigning together. They do this every election cycle that Jason has. But I will say, across the board, just, you know, personal biases aside, objectively speaking, Republicans have the best odds in the AG's race. With the whole scandals that came out about Jay Jones, about his comments about fantasizing, murdering his political opponents, and not just his political opponents' children, who are 5 and 2, mind you, and then also, you know, Jay Jones getting out of a speeding ticket where he was going 116 miles an hour, and 4 other people were in court the same day he was in court for that, regarding, like, similar speeding tickets, and they all got prison time, whereas Jay Jones just had to volunteer, and he apparently got those volunteer hours through his own political PAC. And it's currently under investigation by a prosecutor. So we'll see what comes out of that. All that to say, Republicans have the best odds statewide in the AG's race this November.
You know, looking a little north to New Jersey, you've got Jack Cittarelli, the Republican, and he's pulled within striking distance, I think, three or four points, percentage points. The other thing is early voting, and even though the Democrats lead in early voting, Republicans are having a strong showing there. What does it tell you when you look at the race there in New Jersey?
Look, that's evidence that you have to play by the rules of the game. Early voting in a lot of states, especially blue-leaning states like New Jersey, is here to stay. So that means you either have to lean into it and get your people to vote early and bank those votes, or sacrifice losing the election. So kudos to Jack's campaign and his people in the state party there for pushing Republicans to early vote and getting those votes in the bank. Because, like I said, you can disagree with early voting all you want, but the rules are the rules of the game, and you have to engage on those in order to win. And then you can change the rules if you want to. But so kudos to them on doing that. He's run a really strong campaign. And also, him being on the ballot last cycle for the governor's race, I think, helped him out a lot with name ID and kind of having that established footprint already.
Well, not only that, we're hearing word that at least a dozen Democrat mayors in New Jersey have switched parties, and they're voting for Jack. That tells me that, you know, people, you know, at least on the local level, the politicians are seeing where all of this is going. So, again, it's an opportunity here for the Republicans. Again, New Jersey, a lot like Kansas and also Virginia, where you guys sort of flip-flop back and forth between Democrats and Republicans in your state house.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, you have to each state, especially when it comes to governor and statewide races, are very different state to state. You know, New Jersey is not going to have the same issues that Virginia is having, or, you know, so on and so forth. So it's, you know, hard to apply a national narrative or a national, you know, position of a party to a specific state. I think you've seen that with, like you said, those Democrat mayors, you know, switching over to Jack's side and supporting him in this, even though maybe nationally they still more align with other positions of the Democratic Party.
All right, let's talk about what's going on right now in New York City. This is insanity to me, and I just don't understand it. New audio has surfaced, and I want you to listen to this. We've got Zohran Mamdani, and this is from September of 2023, talking about the police and also Israel. Take a listen to Cut 5, please.
The importance for me of international solidarity is that it takes me out of the American political landscape and reminds me just how tame some of the things are that I'm actually calling for. And it reminds me of the necessity of grounding ourselves in the struggles as opposed to the fights around the struggles. For anyone to care about these issues, we have to make them hyper-local. We have to make clear that when the boot of the NYPD is on your neck, it's been laced by the IDF. We're in a country where those connections abound, especially in New York City. You have so many opportunities to make clear the ways in which that struggle over there is tied to capital's interest over here.
So you just heard him attacking both the NYPD as well as the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. Josh, I've got a bad feeling about what's about to happen in New York City.
Yeah, I mean, me too. Let's be absolutely clear what's on the ballot this November. You have a self-proclaimed socialist who is very antithetical to many ideas, the many, you know, founding principles of America on the ballot this November, who can potentially become the mayor of the most influential, one of the most influential cities in the world, and definitely the most capitalist city in the world. Meanwhile, you know, reminder, capitalism and socialism are diametrically opposed. So it's a real worry, frankly. I mean, and this speaks to the larger divide within the Democratic Party that you're seeing between your more progressive AOC types and Bernie Sanders types versus your more, you know, establishment blue dog Democrats, such as Andrew Cuomo, who's frankly ran an awful campaign as a very flawed candidate. But that's just one of the many factors going into this race here in a couple of weeks.
I mean, do you pick the culture jihadist or the sex fiend who killed grandmothers? I mean, those are bad choices either way you look at it.
It's a tough election. And because, like, look, I don't like either one of them, like, to be clear. But sometimes you have to pick the lesser of two evils. And I'm not saying that's the way that politics should be. But again, going back to what I said about New Jersey, is you can't complain about the rules of the game. You have to play the game, and then you can change the rules. And, so listen, those are the choices you're dealt.
Yeah, and the Republican, I mean, look, Curtis Sliwa stands against every single major Republican Party platform position. I don't even know how the guy can claim to be a Republican, but the reality is he's going to lose. There's just no way around it. The guy's going to lose.
Right. You're absolutely right. The simple math is the votes are not there in New York City for a Republican to win. So if conservatives are truly serious about picking the lesser of two evils who have a real chance of winning, fortunately, that's Andrew Cuomo in this scenario. Again, not an endorsement by any stretch of the measure, but just an analysis of the situation.
And look, barring a miracle, if in fact Curtis Sliwa does pull off the miracle and win, Josh, you and I, we should have a wager here. You and I will both, if he wins, you and I will both eat Chick-fil-A sandwiches. That's a good bet.
We'll come up with something. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not eating a shoe. Yeah. All right, Josh, we got to leave it there, my friend. It is great hearing from you, and we sure do appreciate all that you do for the show.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right, good guy right there, Josh Jones, the official Republican, well, political strategist for the Todd Stern Show, but he is a Republican too. Hey, let's go to Mark from the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's going on, my friend?
I figured I'd say happy birthday before you barred me from the air.
Why would I bar you, Mark, from the Villages?
I'm just saying, you never know.
Oh, geez, Alou.
I'm messing with you. I just wanted to say happy birthday. And on another note, I think Ron DeSantis would have some choice words for those that are choosing to rob people that have buggies of food, especially in Florida. That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
No. I don't think that's going to happen. I honestly don't think that's going to happen, but I wouldn't put it past people to try. But, for example, here in Memphis, we've got the National Guard and federal agents everywhere, so I'm not too terribly concerned about that. But, you know, then again, in some of these other areas, like New York City, Chicago, San Fran, I wouldn't put it past them.
You have trigger-happy people already. Don't give them a reason.
Wow.
In Florida, we have hungry alligators, too.
Well, that's true. That's a good point, and they're not on food stamps.
So what are you doing for your birthday? Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I am just so low-key, probably having dinner with the family, and that's about it. I'm doing the Newsmax show, and I got to get up early in the morning. So, yeah, I'm kind of boring like that.
You just got to get out and continue to exercise. I'm just a little bit older than you. I'm 61, but I have the body of a 20-year-old because I work at it. You got to get out there and exercise and work that heart. You know, you got a young heart. I have a friend that just got an entire heart put in from a younger girl, so I'm always joking around with him about that. I don't like him in high heels. We're going to have issues.
Does he have preferred pronouns?
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. That's a terrible
No, but he's got a heart, and it's just really neat that I know somebody like that, and I get to talk to him.
That is pretty cool.
And he's doing great. As far as my brother with the cancer, it's 80% gone.
Wow.
But for $128,000 every 6 weeks, he better have some good doctors around him, because they'd be giving me and you a shovel.
You got that right. Hey, Mark, God bless you, and don't be a stranger, sir.
I got you.
All right. Good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. I love hearing from our regulars, and it's always fun. We got to take a quick break. Going right back to the phones, this is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Brooke Neal, Virginia. Carl, it's been far too long, my friend.
It has indeed.
And Miss Donna Lynn. Well, thank you. Miss Donna Lynn doing well?
She is.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. What's going on?
I'm working on a set in the theater. Let me run in the office real quick. She'll want to say hi.
Well, wow. All right. We're getting a twofer here.
Yeah. Always good.
So, Carl, what's going on? I know you're concerned about Virginia politics.
Yeah, I think we're going to jolt to the left.
Is that what you're feeling? That's what you're hearing?
I'm hoping I'm wrong, but it looks like it's going to be close. Sears is closing the gap, but she hasn't got much time to finish.
What's been the problem there, Carl? It just seems like the Republicans have had a hard time figuring out their messaging.
Too much out-of-state money, too.
Well, that's a big, big problem.
Yeah. Well, here's Donna Lynn. She wants to say hi.
Well, all right, Carl. Well, hi, Donna Lynn. How are you? It's been way too long.
Fat and sassy. How are you?
Fat and sassy. Well, you're on national radio, so we...
Oh.
Carl didn't tell you that part of it.
Oh, goodness.
Now, Carl and Donna Lynn, you guys, we've known each other for years, going back to the book conferences and the writers' conferences. Well, we've got about 30 seconds here, but Donna Lynn, I want you to tell folks about your great theater that you guys have there.
Oh, 246 The Main Community Theater in Brookneal, Virginia on Main Street. And we do about four to five shows a year. It's, quote, family friendly, so you can bring your grandma or your child or your grandchild and not be afraid that they're going to see or hear something that they shouldn't. We're very proud of it. We've been here for 11 years.
Wow. I remember when you guys were doing the whole renovation. It's really a spectacular theater. And folks, you got to go check that out. Donna Lynn, Carl, the music is coming on, and that means I've got to take a break. But it is great hearing from you guys.
Great to talk to you, Todd.
Have a great.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Carl and Donna Lynn, fat and sassy. I wonder if I can put that on my bumper sticker. Got to take a break, everybody. Hang tight. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Wow. Yes. Hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Hour three of the big show. Great to have you with us. And I told you today was going to be weird and quirky, and it has so far been weird and quirky. We've got a lot to talk about. Coming up, I'm excited to introduce a guest coming up. They have just relaunched the Young America's Foundation chapter, the YAF chapter, out of all places, Rhodes College. And we're going to be talking to the student president of the YAF chapter coming up at the bottom of the hour. This is very exciting because nationwide, we're watching so many young people stepping up onto their college campuses and saying, you know what, I'm proud to be a conservative, I'm proud to be a Christian, and we're going to take a stand. And I just think that's absolutely terrific. Also, during the break, Dylan, I know what's going on during the show. I know what's going on in the building. I have no idea what's going on today.
Today's full of surprises.
Which is not good for a guy with a bad heart. I mean, come on, man.
You gave me a certain look when we told you to go downstairs.
They were telling me to go downstairs during the break. I'm like, I don't want to go downstairs. No, you got to go. I don't want to go downstairs. You got to walk down the stairs and you got to walk back up. You're out of breath. And nobody wants to hear me heavy breathing on the air, especially after I made the quip about the waitresses on roller skaters doing tricks. That was somewhat inappropriate. I felt bad. That was Richard from Murfreesboro. He's never going to call back again. We lost a listener. So all that to say, you know, I'm trying to be in the zone, and I go downstairs, and I didn't know if Antifa had attacked or what, because there are all these people, and it turns out it's our good friends from the Republican Party of Shelby County, and they came bearing gifts, a homemade apple pie, homemade sausage balls, a chocolate bar from Dinstel's Chocolates, which is the best chocolate candy shop in America, and Senator Brent Taylor, who single-handedly spearheaded getting the National Guard here and making Memphis safe again. Senator Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd, for having me, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I'd like to think I'm aging gracefully. So
you are aging like a bottle of milk in a power outage.
Wait a second. That's not good, is it? Senator, I love your quips. You've done a terrific job in the State House, and I know you're in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and we've been comparing you to Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana, and you two actually got to meet each other.
We did. He is on the Senate Judiciary Committee where I testified, although he was not in the committee when I testified, and I was greatly disappointed in that, but I did run into him in the hallway. And we stood there and talked for a few minutes. We actually traded one-liners.
Get
out. We did. I gave him some that had raised a lot of eyebrows in the state Senate that I've mentioned on the Senate floor. He gave me a few that he's used. And so we got some new material that we can use.
I'm excited because I don't want to say I've heard a couple of them repeated. So, you know, you got to always have fresh material, right?
That's right. I mean, look, when you... If you're going to be memorable, it helps to be a smartass.
Yeah. Fair enough. A lot of people remember me, by the way. I got to think about that. By the way, I do want to give a shout-out to Luke Symbol, who's one of our regulars, and he came by, and we call them the Conservative Housewives of Germantown, Kristen Hicks and Kristen New, dear friends and just incredibly passionate ladies, members of the Moms for Liberty. And also, they have really just poured gasoline into the Republican Party, and this party is cooking with gas.
They are. The Kristen Squared, as I call them, the Kristen Squared, they have, as you said, poured gasoline on the local Republican Party. We even now have the Democrat-controlled county commission voting like Republicans, and it's all because of the Republican Party's efforts here locally.
It's amazing. And Senator, I know that you've been testified on Capitol Hill. You've been working with the Justice Department with the situation here in Memphis with the crime, and that it's really just truly revolutionized our city in just a short amount of time. What's your observation of what's happening here in this area?
Well, Todd, as you know, when I ran for the state Senate just 3 years ago, I ran on a platform of making Memphis matter. I wanted to get better outcomes for Memphis, not only in Nashville, our state capital, but also out of Washington, D.C. And crime was the number one issue. There's no other issue in Memphis besides crime. And so I continued with this mantra of making Memphis matter by making Memphis safe. And I just continued to work every angle I could until finally we had Make Memphis Matter start locally. It made its way all the way to Nashville at the state capitol and ultimately ended with President Trump joining the Make Memphis Matter movement in the Oval Office when he signed the executive order sending 13 alphabet soup agencies along with the National Guard to Memphis to help fight crime.
And I can say this because I was there and I heard it straight from the public affairs office. They're actually using a lot of the stuff you're posting on social media to, you know, in their press releases.
They are. And I was pleasantly surprised by that. But I think that they recognize that this Make Memphis Matter effort has been spot on from day one and has really captured the attention of not only Senator Marsha Blackburn, who was very instrumental in getting the National Guard and getting the president to send the agencies here, but also the president himself.
And it's been amazing because now you're starting to see, for example, blue states like Maryland, the Commonwealth of Maryland, where you've got the Democrat governor saying, you know what, They see what's happening in Memphis, and they're like, can you come to Baltimore? Can you do something with – but still, you've got Democrats in Tennessee and other cities that simply are enraged. They're accusing us of being occupied.
It's unbelievable that they would not want the help that the president is offering. And that's what I've said from when I was in Washington, D.C., testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee, is that Memphis – could be the model on how we do this moving forward. And look, the city mayor here, he's made no bones about it. He prefers not to have the National Guard, but he also recognizes that that's not his decision to make, and he is doing everything he can to make sure that this effort is a success. And our crime rate, Todd, has been cut in half in just 2 weeks.
It's remarkable. I was seeing that the latest numbers, I think over 80 children have been rescued that were missing. And these kind, you know, crimes are being solved, warrants are being served that haven't been served. I mean, this is truly remarkable what's happening.
It is. And we have a county mayor here, Todd, as you know, who is the exact opposite. He is doing everything he can to stop this effort. Think about this. Even though crime has been cut in half, we have a county mayor that is so out of touch that he is actually attempting to sue the Trump administration to stop this effort in Memphis. And he has been silent for 7 years, and it's almost like he ordered a backbone from Amazon. It finally showed up and was delivered, and he strapped it on, and he's gone out, and I'll be damned if he didn't pick the wrong side. He's the kind of guy, Todd, that will go to a Harlem Globetrotters game and root for the Washington Generals.
Oh, my. That's not good. You don't want to be that guy.
He just does not know how to pick a side.
No, you can know he does not. State Senator Brent Taylor from the great state of Tennessee. He's also my state senator. And you've been catching a lot of flack from the local media here. And I just think that the media is just not used to somebody on the other side actually speaking out and not backing down. You know, you're not shying away from the fight here.
I'm not. We have a city to save, and we're doing everything we can to try to get all the resources from the state government and the federal government here to solve this crime problem. There are two things, Todd, that I think hold Memphis back from being a great American city. Crime, and we're fixing that. The other is education, and we're working on that as well. If we could solve those two issues, there'd be no stopping the great city of Memphis.
You know, one of the things that's been a big fight here in this area, and it's been a fight in other cities as well, is the school system and, you know, getting partisan school board races. And then, you know, again, finding those good candidates. And it looks like, as a result of what happened yesterday in Memphis, that there will be an opportunity for people to fix what's broken in the school system here.
There will be, and there's actually legislation that I'm sponsoring in Nashville, and I was actually talking to the lieutenant governor on my way here to the studio, and we have a meeting coming up. I believe we're going to be able to make some transformative changes come January. There's a couple of bills that I have that I believe will get passed. And will make a huge difference in the governance of our schools here in Memphis.
The one-liners, how does that work? Do you write them down? Do you wake up in the middle of the night and do you have like a notepad by the side of the bed? How does that process work?
Well, you know, my dad was the same way. My dad died about 25, 30 years ago. He was the same way. He had equipped for every occasion. And some people have told me you ought to write this stuff down, but it just comes to mind in the situation. So it's not like I can sit and plan ahead with these one-liners. Although Senator Kennedy did give me a couple that I've written down, and I may work them and weave them into my conversation.
Before we go, you got to tell the funny story. We were at a gathering a few days ago, and you told us a funny story about, and you were over at the VFW hall, and there was a veteran celebrating, what, 100?
100 years old.
Wow, 100 years old.
Yeah.
We should probably set the stage here. Previously, before you went into politics, you owned a massive funeral home here in the Memphis area.
That's correct. I'm a funeral director and undertaker by profession. And as a result, it's a very heavy profession. And so I try to make light of it when I can to try to, you know, so people will not be too fearful to think and talk about funeral homes. So I often work in my remarks when I'm speaking about being an undertaker. Well, I show up not thinking that this gentleman's 100 years old, and I've got a proclamation from the governor and a proclamation from the Senate, and I get up there and I start talking, and normally I weave in some of my Undertaker jokes, and I realize this gentleman's 100 years old. He probably would not appreciate my Undertaker jokes.
No, he would not.
So I realize I've got nothing. So about all I could do is just hand him the proclamations and like, here you go. So it was difficult, and I've got to find a way to relate outside of being an Undertaker.
That can be difficult. I can see that. Yeah.
There are only two things in life, Todd, that are certain: death and taxes. And I happen to have a little something to do with both of them.
Yes, you do, Senator. Great to see you, and again, thank you for the great work you're doing. You know, we were telling people that the fight was coming back to the state houses as the president continues to shrink the federal government. A lot of those battles come back to the state, and that's why it's so important that we have good, solid conservatives, America First conservatives, at the state level.
It is. And, you know, my friend Senator Marsha Blackburn is running for governor, and I believe she is the one that can lead this state and become a national conservative leader.
All right. Senator, we're going to leave it there. Great to see you. And somebody said you needed to write a book. You know, maybe you and John Kennedy can write a book together.
Well, it will be a top bestseller.
Southern Sayings or something like that. We'll come up with a quippier title. All right, State Senator Brent Taylor, our telephone number here, folks, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to play some audio from a crazy a situation in New York City as we follow the mayor's race there. This is the Todd Stern Show. So I go back downstairs, and now there is the Christens, as we call them. They're great ladies. And we were actually serving together when we served the military this barbecue lunch on Sunday. They made a homemade apple pie. Dylan caramelized apples in this homemade apple pie and homemade sausage balls. And these sausage balls, you know how you normally do the Bisquick with the sausage balls?
Yeah.
No, sir. This is like flour from scratch sausage balls.
You know, I've sensed a theme in the gifts today for your birthday.
I'm going to need a wider angle lens. That's what I'm going to need. Wow.
It's all delicious.
Look, let me tell you something. Southern women in the kitchen? My goodness. Hey, let's go to James in Arkansas. James, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Hey, last hour you were talking about, you know, how children are raised these days. And I'll try to make this real fast. When I was a kid, I was probably 14 years old. My dad said, "How would you like to have some nice fancy school clothes?" I said, "That'd be great." He said, "You need to get out of that hayfield, pick them bales up." and when I got a little older where I could drive, he said, "How'd you like to have a car and not have to ride the school bus?" I said, "That'd be great." He said, "You need to go in there and put an application in that store and get you a job so you can afford a car." And I had a standard transmission in this vehicle, so when the pressure plate went out, I barely made it to the dealership. And it's going to cost me, this is back in the 80s, it's going to cost me $400 to fix. And my dad said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "I do. You can go in there and talk to Mr. Wood, who owns the dealership, and ask him how much you have to pay him every week to get your car fixed." And unfortunately, that's not how kids are raised these days.
No, they're not. And James, it alarms me the numbers of young people that are just given things. You know, they don't have to work for anything, right? And it's one thing if you're, let's just say you're a kid and, you know, maybe you're, you know, in sports or athletics or marching band and you don't have the time to go out and get a job. I can understand parents giving you an allowance, but that means you need to be doing things around the home. You need to be lending a helping hand in other areas. But a lot of kids aren't even doing that, and it really does a disservice to them because they're going to grow up and they're not going to appreciate what it means to put in a hard day's work. And then it's also going to impact the nation at large because we're going to have a lot of deadbeats that are getting food stamps when they should be out working a job.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the problem is, you know, the parents are actually, I think they're helping their kids by giving them everything they want. You're actually doing your kids a terrible disservice giving them everything they want because, first of all, they won't appreciate it. Second of all, you're working harder than you should have to. Those kids should be working, too, to help you because that's part of growing up, you know?
That's it. And And again, understanding that, you know, children, you know, you know, when people say, well, you know, I need money for this or that, you know what? Moms and dads need to remind those kids they're living, you know, that's not their house, right? That's mom and dad's house. That's not your car. That's mom and dad's car, and you're eating mom and dad's food. So you're going to do chores. You're going to do work around the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think this is going to be a very I will be surprised if the Senate Democrats come to November 1st and they still haven't reopened the government. But that could be the case, and if that happens, this is a wake-up call. But still, for Republicans, we need to start cracking down on all of these deadbeats. You need, if you're on food stamps, you need to be out there proving that you're getting a job, that you're doing your part.
Well, Todd, let me just leave you with one thing before I go. Here's the biggest problem that Republicans have right now, themselves. Because Democrats will vote for, as Rush used to say, a piece of excrement if the Democrat is told to vote for a piece of excrement. A Republican wants to grow a conscience about everything, and I understand Rand Paul and his conscience, but the fact of the matter is, until the Republicans say, okay, we're going to do what's necessary to defeat the Democrats and to actually get things done that need to be done, until they decide they're going to do that, they're going to keep floundering like they're doing now.
Yep.
I'll be surprised if they don't lose the House again next election.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. So we'll see how that plays out. James, I got to run. Great call. Thank you for listening. Thanks for holding on. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, I'm going to have to double up on Calitrin. Those sausage balls did me in. Wow, those were tasty.
You really have to. Yeah.
I know.
All
yeah.
of us do, really.
Yeah, I'm going to do something with the Dr. Pepper cake. That was insane.
Yeah, I can't believe it tastes like Dr. Pepper.
It tastes like Dr. Pepper.
It's crazy.
I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
Real quick, though, the story about Dr. Pepper. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I, Todd Stearns, drink three Dr. Peppers a day. There's a lady, she was 100 years old. They interviewed her. They sent the local reporter down. Said, what's the secret to longevity? She said, Dr. Pepper. And the guy said, well, wait a second, isn't that unhealthy? And she said, yeah, that's what all of my doctors told me too, but they're all dead and I'm still alive. And from that day on, I started drinking three Dr. Peppers a day. I may not know much, but I know how to live a long life. I'm just saying. Welcome back, everybody. And we are just so honored to have an in-studio guest. Jack Herman is president of the YAF chapter, Young America's Foundation chapter, at Rhodes College, which, of course, a couple of alums, one of them is on the Supreme Court, and the other is Jasmine Crockett. Who would have thought that? Jack, good to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is exciting because, I don't know if you know this or not, but Rhodes sort of leans just a smidge to the left. And now we understand there's a TPUSA chapter, there's a College Republican Club, and you guys are kicking it with the YAF chapter there.
Yes, sir. It's been great to see a new resurgence of conservatism on campus.
So you're a freshman at Rhodes, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And originally, you got it. We have a lot of listeners across northern Georgia, and so you got to give a shout out to the good people back home.
Yes, Cumming, Georgia, and Forsyth County. That's where I'm from originally. It's a great, beautiful area.
And home to a lot of conservatives, by the way.
Yes, sir. It's a pretty red area. It's a great place to be.
So what was it about politics? How early did you start getting involved in politics? And what made you decide, you know what, I agree with a lot of the conservative values?
Yeah, so my sister really kicked off politics for me. She started a conservative club at my high school, which is something that I was engaged in. And that kind of made me realize what kind of views that I sided with. And that kind of is what led me to start the YAF chapter at Rhodes.
So you started the YAF chapter. What's that experience been like talking to other students and sharing your viewpoint? Because a lot of kids don't want to do that these days because of the blowback they get.
Yeah, it's been great to find people that think the same way as me. But on the same side, there has been backlash by not only students, but also faculty, which is just something that we kind of have to work through as we engage in some new conversations on campus.
And fair enough. What kind of blowback from the faculty? I'm curious.
So although they are just rumors, I've heard that the faculty has kind of not been very happy with the start of the new conservative movement on campus. They've been trying to get the names of students and things like that. They're just not very happy with, I guess, other viewpoints.
I'll tell you what, and here's the deal, and this is how we do things on this program. You guys ever get any blowback, any student ever gets outed as a conservative, your first phone call is to me, and we'll take care of that for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're not going to tolerate that here. I will say, though, you've generated a lot of excitement among the alumni from years past. They're so excited that there now is finally conservative voices on the campus.
Yeah, it's been great to hear that the alumni are excited. I think that the college as a whole has definitely been more left-leaning. I don't know historically, but that's what I've noticed since I've been there. So it's been nice to hear that I have support.
What's been the mood and the attitude since Charlie Kirk's assassination? You know, it feels like it's been so long ago, but it's just been over a month and a half now since that happened.
Yeah, I think that was really the starting point of all of this. After Charlie Kirk was killed, there was some things that were being said around campus, some rumors that just didn't sit right with me. And I think of other conservative students. And I think that it was time to start a movement, start some talks about getting some conservative voices out there and really standing up for what we believe in.
What I find fascinating, and we've had a lot of folks on our, we've had a lot of students on our shows, and many of them are just now starting chapters. They're pretty much in your situation. You know, they're freshmen, young people, and they're really ready to make a difference. And I'm wondering why that is. What's going on here with people your age?
I think that in our generation, there's been a lot of polarization of politics. And I think that at especially higher education institutions, that it is more normalized and more accepted to be on the left side of politics. And I think that that has kind of silenced some conservative voices. And I think that people are just starting to realize after what they've heard about Charlie Kirk and other things that are in the news, the No Kings protests, things like that, that it's time to really get our voices out there.
Isn't that funny, though, and somewhat ironic, because it was the Democrats who put a person on the ticket that would be Kamala Harris without even allowing the Democrat Party to have a vote or a say in it. She was handpicked.
Yes, it's it doesn't really make any sense.
No, not at all. So you guys are doing meetings. I love YAF because you guys are all about understanding, okay, I am a conservative, but why am I a conservative? And what does that mean? And, you know, not just my politics, but my faith, my business, you know, how I live my life.
Yeah, I think it's great, especially for the education of other students to really learn what those traditional values are, as well as the political side of it. It's really it's a lifestyle that we're fighting for, not necessarily just politics.
OK, I'm going to tell you what you have to do. And by the way, we've got Jack Herman with us. He is the pride of North Georgia. So all of you WTUN listeners, this is your guy repping the great state of Georgia. I just put a lot on you, a lot on your shoulders, Jack, but I think you can handle it. He is heading up the brand new YAF chapter. That's Young America's Foundation. We have Scott Walker on, the governor, all the time on this program. And I'm going to tell Scott about you. I'm so excited about what you guys are doing. But anyway, he is at Rhodes College. So here's what you got to do. YAF controls the Reagan Ranch. And so you got to get out to Santa Barbara, go to one of the conferences, and you got to go check out the Reagan Ranch. It's just really, really remarkable.
Yeah, I would love to go there sometime. My sister went to a conference out there. I've heard that it's beautiful. I've heard great things about it, and I'd love to get out to a conference.
You know what's interesting about Ronald Reagan? You think, here's a guy, he was a movie star, president of the United States, two terms, has more money than he knows what to do with. But when you go to that ranch, it is so simple. Even his bed, he just has like a regular bed, and they had to put an end table at the end of the bed because he's very tall, and just to accommodate his feet. You know, it wasn't a mansion. He didn't have all these servants. He was just, you know, a regular guy, a regular American. And I think that's really, Jack, when you look at being a conservative, you know, it's that fiscal responsibility, you living within your means, and being a person of faith.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great representation of how a lot of Americans live and how they want to live. And I think that he was a great person, and that ranch is really a representation of that.
So let's talk. We've got midterms coming up, and next year is going to be insane. I know you got to meet a lot of the Republican Party folks in our lobby. And by the way, you got to grab some of the sausage balls on the way. They're very good.
Yeah, that's a try one.
I'm sure you have a great cafeteria over at Rhodes, but, you know, get some home cooking while you can. I'm curious, what is it that the Republicans are going to need to do to make sure they get the votes of people like you?
We need to get the young people talking again. I've said this over and over that young conservatives are scared to speak their mind and get their views out there. And there's plenty of reasons for that. But I think that it's time we start a movement. We start to get people talking again. And I think Charlie Kirk was a great representation of that. And we need to live on his legacy.
I think that's a terrific thing. And it's a great way to look at things moving forward. And it's really one person at a time, right? It's not like you've got to go out there and reach everybody. It's just one person.
Yeah, I think that it'll spread quickly once people realize what they believe in and that they can talk about it on campuses without being scared of the backlash.
All right. Jack Herman with us. He is president of the YAF chapter at Rhodes College. Jack, tell us, what are you majoring in? What do you want to do with your life?
Yeah, so I'm a neuroscience major on the pre-med pathway. So hopefully after my 4 years at Rhodes, I'll go on to med school and become a doctor.
And you're an athlete as well.
Yes, sir. I'm on the cross-country and track and field teams.
Hey, Dylan, turn your mic on for just a second. I was telling him that Ben Dieter, who called in early this morning, Ben was our former executive producer here. He got hired. He's a press secretary in Washington now, but he was like a super fast runner as well.
He's a long runner too. He runs those marathons.
He does.
I don't know how they do it.
All he did was like drink bone broth. I mean, do you eat? I'm curious if this is just a Dieter centric thing. What is the training like for a cross country runner?
So it's a lot of mileage and a lot of calories.
Really? Okay. A lot of mileage and a lot of calories. So Ben existed on what, that bone broth and berries.
Well, he was on the carnivore diet for a while, so that may have helped him push through.
That could have helped. Yeah. So maybe you might want to pass the sausage balls then. So I'm just saying. I don't want to get in trouble with your coach. We're like, what happened to our star athlete? He's eating donuts and Dr. Pepper cake. Jeez, the Lou. All right, Jack, man, congratulations. We're excited for you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Let us know what we can do to help out here, and good luck at Rhodes.
Yeah, thank you so much. I love your show. I love what you're doing, and we got to get more people talking.
Yes, we do. Get more people talking. I like that. As a talk radio host, I endorse that message. All right, look, here's the deal, folks. We have to take a quick break. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That number again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And now you know, ladies and gentlemen, why I have hope in America. People like Jack Herman from Forsyth County, Georgia, going to college here in the Memphis area, Rhodes College. I'm not kidding you. Within the past, the month and a half, they've launched a Turning Point USA chapter. They've launched a College Republicans, and they've launched the YAF, Young America's Foundation. And YAF, by the way, I'm a huge fan and supporter. I speak at a lot of their conferences around the country. And the reason why is this organization was founded by William F. Buckley Jr., who is the father of the modern-day conservative movement. And they do a lot on the education side. They have great conferences, not necessarily the smoke and the smoke and the lights and all that kind of stuff, but they are making a tremendous impact. And we certainly appreciate the great work that Governor Scott Walker and the team at YAF are doing. I want to read this before we go to the phones. And by the way, our phone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, I'm not sure I thought like that or I could have been that well-spoken at 18 years old.
I was literally just thinking about that. I was thinking young people are becoming smarter.
It's a pretty darn impressive.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it really is, and very refreshing. Someone writing this, the SNAP benefit situation clearly shows that you could not survive a world built off natural selection. It's true, though. I mean, right? I mean, people are freaking out. And ladies and gentlemen, the whole point about America is personal responsibility. And where do we lose that in the country? Where do we lose that in the culture? It is not the government's responsibility to feed and clothe you. That's what the communists do, and it always ends up badly. Always. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Pastor John in Kentucky. Hi, Pastor John. What's going on?
Todd, this is a message from Southern Tabasco Messengers. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Todd Starnes. Happy birthday to you. And many more. God bless you, Todd.
Well, Pastor,
happy birthday.
Pastor John, thank you so much. Wow. That's my goodness. Thank you, Pastor. Didn't even stick around for the commendation.
Quick and easy.
And the compliment. I love those kinds of callers. You know, I love Pastor John because he gets right to the point, and he does all the time. I wanted to ask him, though, and we'll get him back on later. We'll do this for Open Line Friday. I want to hear how the Civil War reenactment turned out. I want to know who won. That's what I want to know. All right. Look, coming up tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have a jam-packed show for you. Congresswoman Kat Kamick joins us live. It's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, you know who's watching Newsmax these days? President Trump is. That's right. Millions of people across the country are now tuning into Newsmax. They're watching Newsmax on cable. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute did a study, and they discovered that Newsmax is now one of the top news brands in the nation. And the reason why, you have great programming, Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Fennerty, Todd Stearns, and all of us are exposing the big media lies, the Washington swamp, and we're just never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that made our nation so great. So I want you to find out why Newsmax is now the fastest growing news channel in America. Just join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, or you can download the free app today. It literally takes just a few seconds to get started. And let President Trump know that you are standing with Newsmax, real news for real people. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. All right. Want to play some audio here. And again, this goes back to what's happening in New York City with Zohran Mamdani. This is John Stewart, and here's John Stewart's take on Mamdani, calling it a Jackie Robinson moment. Cut number 4.
I wish you all the best. Honestly, you know, I think any New Yorker who looks at someone getting an opportunity, who's representing communities that have not been as representative, a Muslim, a young person, a progressive, a democratic socialist, you know, there are so many different communities that are looking to you, and this, I hate to put it on you, as a bit of a Jackie Robinson moment. And I know that probably wields some weight, but man,
is
oh man,
crying?
What an exciting opportunity.
There's no crying on TV, sir. What's wrong with you? And by the way, really? Because Zohran Mamdani, this is a guy who has made it very clear where his allegiances lie. And it is not a good place, ladies and gentlemen. The fact of the matter is that if you live in New York City and you are a wealthy person, if you live in New York City and you are a white person, you need to start packing up and looking for real estate south of the Mason-Dixon line or go over to New Jersey. But I'm telling you right now, folks, people are freaking out over all of this, and they need to be. If you're Jewish, you need to be packing up and getting out of town as well. You Christians, I wouldn't be too far behind. And all of you folks on Broadway, don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but you might want to pack up and get out too. And if anybody in the LGBT community, if you get invited to a rooftop party during that administration, I would turn down the invitation. I'm just saying. By the way, new numbers coming out. Republicans in Washington, D.C., getting huge, huge credit from the American people over the Schumer shutdown. Cut number 9, please.
It hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here. The shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. Among the when we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat compared to where we were pre-shutdown, despite the fact that Republicans control. And that's the math that John Thune and Mike Johnson are looking at is, well, hey, why should we give an electorally speaking when our brand has actually improved a little bit?
Well, it's a great point. So we'll keep up on that tomorrow. By the way, I want to thank our friends in the U.S. Marshal Service from the Eastern District of Wisconsin. That was the Milwaukee and Green Bay region. I'll show this to our crowd watching us on our social media channels right now. They dropped by one of their great badges, and we certainly appreciate that and thank them for their great work here in the Memphis area. It's been a lot of fun today, folks. Thank you for joining us. A little quirky show, quirkier than normal, but I want to say thank you. It has been a blessing to be broadcasting behind this microphone. Looking forward to another great year of broadcasting as well. All right, folks, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. We'll see you back here on the radio tomorrow at noon. Get out there and you be good, America.